Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do it, and that's what I do. I got the best team behind me. I'm not going anywhere.
Frankie Edgar, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you guys like it?
So, that's my motivation right here, to bring the best fight possible for this crown right here.
Pedro Munhoz, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. That's to the audience. And to you, Robbie.
It's great to be back. Ooh. It's been too long, Matt. It's been way too long.
Man. We had so much fun when you visited us in studio, and we visited you over at the that bar stool.
Yeah, you guys came over and did my mom's basement.
What you been up to, pal? I want to hear what's up with you.
I've been chilling. I've been kicking back when the pandemic first hit. I got out of the city pretty quick, went back to my mom's in Jersey, hung out with my dogs, spent like 3 months just cuddled up on the couch with them, smoking a lot of hashish, as they say. Kind of chilling, you know, covering the fights. But I wound up doing some fun stuff last weekend. Went out to Vegas, watched some fights, Matt.
Now you're doing that as a reporter. I saw you were there with the, I didn't notice you were there until I saw on the Instagram after. I would have tried to say hello because, you know, I was there also, Robbie.
I know, I saw you. But listen, I wasn't going to bother you. I saw you had much other things to attend to.
Oh, man, let me tell you something. Every time one of my guys... You know, I should say our guys wins a fight. I feel like I want to fight. I'm still so happy. I'm just so happy for Marab.
I kind of felt that way just knowing you, because I saw how happy you guys were in the octagon afterwards when he's screaming in your faces and you guys are all giggling like, oh, geez, he's still screaming. Like, it was just such like a wholesome, fun, you know, win for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know what it is too? Like, when you really get to know a guy, like, and like a guy like Marab is just, it's Marab's a guy. There's not what you can't find a person I think on earth that could say something bad about this guy. He's just, you know what I mean? So when you know a guy's like he came from the mountains of Georgia. And he, you know, if you heard his story, you heard at the post fight,
of course,
you know, in the tent, you know, doing the in front of all the reporters and doing his post fight speech there. Not speech, what is it? The post fight
interview.
You know, he was saying he came from like, you know, the mountains of Georgia. And, you know, now, and he's just now is able to stop his construction job and be a full-time UFC like fighter, you know? And it's just from where he came from to here, and he's an elite fighter. It's just such a beautiful story, man. You know,
it is a nice story. And everyone around him, the way you guys rally around him makes it even that more nice. I don't know if you saw this, but I had an interview with Dana White recently where I was talking about your team and how much I love your team. And I said that I want, when he goes and buys his property out in Abu Dhabi on Fight Island, I want you and Ally Quinta to go out there and do Dana White looking for a house with Max Marin and Ally Quinta.
Oh, did you say that? That's great.
I did. Yeah. That's what I want to see next.
Yeah, you get more – I see you talking to Dana more than I – you talk to Dana more than I do, Robbie. I don't know
crazy,
how you guys got so close. It's great.
Me neither. I don't get it. I think Dana's got like a secret little thing for nerds. I see, you know, that John Oliver feud got a little soft, and now he likes me. I think maybe he's a closet nerd himself.
I think you're a likable guy, and I'm happy that there's so many fights lately. You know what I mean? That there's fights every week, Rob.
Oh, every
you know
what week. I mean? Yeah.
But wait, really quick, getting back to Marab, just you know, because we're talking about what such a great guy he is. Just me and Longo had to share like a suite, like, you know what I mean? So I had a room, then there's a little living room, and he has a room. So yep. We're like roommates for the week, you know what I mean? For a few days, you know, for Marab's fight. So we, you know, we're getting ready for his, like the day before, I mean, the guy's cutting weight. He visits us in the room, Marab, and you know, me and Longo are slobs. I'm looking over, and I come out of my room, and the guy's cleaning up, man. He's got the garbage bag out. He's putting our pizza box in. I go, Marab, you got to be a little selfish, man. Stop. Don't be worrying about us.
Yeah, absolutely not. I also,
man.
I don't envy the people in the rooms next to you, the paper thin walls that they have in hotels, screaming at each other from wall to wall. That's a sitcom I'd like to see.
Oh, let me tell you something. It is, it's something, it's always an experience. So we have Pedro Munhoz coming on soon.
Yep.
And also my buddy, the legend Frankie Edgar.
I'm thrilled about that. I'm a Jersey boy, Tom's River guy, and I've never spoken to Frankie, so that's big for me.
Oh, you're from Tom's River?
Well, I'm not from Tom's River. I once had a house there for a few years.
Oh.
I lived there for a few years.
Where'd you grow up?
Little Ferry, New Jersey, up in Bergen County. It's right near Hackensack.
You are a Jersey guy.
Oh, yeah, big time.
All right, so listen, before we get Pedro on, that fight's going to be sick.
Going to be awesome.
We'll go over some picks and stuff afterwards because we don't want to make it weird now.
Definitely not.
You know what I mean? Sometimes with Jimmy, I like to point out that he picked against the guy just to make him uncomfortable.
That but I'm way more.
I would never do that. I would never do
hey,
that.
Hey, you want to hear this? I actually became friends with Billy Quarantillo over quarantine because I picked against him in his fight with Spike Carlisle. I picked Spike Carlisle, and then he hit me up after the fight, and he's like, bro, I've been a Barstool fan for 10 years. What the hell? I was like, man.
Isn't
so I had
strange?
Him on the podcast, apologized to him, and now we're buddies.
These guys, they handled it so much better than I would have handled it.
Because
I was
so?
Like, I was a little hothead. When I get ready for fights and I'd see people picking against me, I'd be like, because it's weird, because it's when you're the guy, it's not like you're picking for a team to outscore you in something. You're picking for another guy to just best you in combat.
Totally.
To beat you up. This guy could beat you up. It's something just, it feels deeper than just you getting just beaten in a contest, that's how you should actually look at it, because it's not really personal for the guy picking. But I don't know, man. I remember as the fighter being annoyed with people, like, fuck this guy.
What did you think of the vibe at the Apex? Curious as a corner man, like, kind of weird for me as a press member. It was like Fight Club-ish.
You know what's funny? It was exactly the same vibe as Abu Dhabi, as a Fight Club, as a
I'm
Fight
forgetting,
Island.
Yeah, you were out
it's
on Fight
so
Island. So
yeah, but it's the same exact thing. It could have been the same place. I mean, inside, because it's very few people in there. You know what I mean? Very few. And, as a corner man, I'll tell you right now, I was there watching it with Dana because I was there doing Dana White looking forward to a fight, which is on YouTube. See, I plug my shit. But I was doing that over there for a few weeks ago. And I had a different experience because I went through the green room with Dana's and then watched it. I was one of the very few people able to watch the fights.
Yeah.
This time I was a corner man. So it was very strange how they did that, and very cool. I love it because you're in and fucking out, which is a different experience. Because Robbie, afterwards the fights, usually, you know, if it's not a main event, usually we afterwards we go in the green room with our guy if it's a good night, or else we're in the fucking ambulance at the hospital. But you know, we're watching the fights in the green room with all the camps. You know what I mean? It's like a different routine. This one, you're in. There's an area, like an Apex, where there's one mat over there and another one far on the other side of the huge room, and just two camps at a time. They take your bags with you when you leave the room. Leave the room to go walk to the cage, and they put them like they're just waiting for you for afterwards. Your guy does the press, like Marab did his press afterwards. And then we just got walked right out the door. It's fucking crazy. So strange, Robbie.
It was strange. Yeah, I said from being there, it felt like a high school wrestling meet almost. Just hearing the corners, hearing the coaches like screaming at their fighters, hearing the emptiness, hearing every shot land. It was just bizarre.
Pedro, what's up, man? This is my buddy Robbie Fox.
What's going on, Pedro?
We're on UFC Unfiltered.
All right.
Are you in Vegas already?
Oh, yeah. I'm in Vegas already. Got here yesterday.
And hey, man, this is the first time you're on the show. I feel like we talked before.
No, we spoke before when I fought Aljo.
And tell you, what a fight, too. Holy, yeah, then, holy was a, heart attack.
Was a great honor, man, meeting you and be able to talk with you. You know, I grew up watching you fighting. Even though before UFC, I watched you ADCC back in those days.
Oh, shit, man. Well, listen, man, I feel – hey, that was 2001, so it shows my age, but – shit, I'm still around, so I'm happy to know you, man, because I'll tell you, I sometimes, and Robbie, listen to this, sometimes I watch, like, fights studying these guys for my fighters, and then I become fans of these guys,
yeah.
And Pedro's one of them, man, because, you know, I'm a fucking jiu-jitsu guy, and he's got one of the sickest fucking guillotines. You hear me every time when he fought Aljo, every time Aljo went a little low, I'm just like, ah, your fucking neck! I was dying. I was like, dude... I go, listen, don't, because Aljo has a way of when you have his neck, he's still hard to strangle. And I go, dude, don't fuck with Pedro's guillotine. I'll tell you right now, don't fuck, don't wait for it. Don't wait for that to get around. You know, with one hand, he puts guys out.
Almost relieving when like the fight's over. It's like, all right, I could just be a fan now. I could just root for him for the rest of his career.
hey, Pedro, me and Robbie were just talking about the fighting with no crowd. You know what I mean? I'm used to it back from The Ultimate Fighter, and I've seen it before, but it's fucking, it seems, you know, it was definitely when I first was, did it, it feels different. What do you think about it? You think it's going to affect you at all?
Yeah. Will be interesting, you know, because even though back in those days, I, in Brazil, fighting like a small show, things like that, we always has like an audience, you know, stuff like that. So, let's say that's going to feel like more a sparring section with, you know, a little bit more sparring section with camera and stuff, you know, so no audience, you know, in a good point as American Top Team, we have like a huge like warehouse with the octagon right there in the middle, people yeah. like walking by and things like that. So, but it will be interesting. It will be interesting, you know, fighting with no audience, you know, it's my first time, you know. Fighting with no audience, but I'm looking forward, man. I'm looking forward because the audience, even though that I like it, you know, a lot of people don't like the extra pressure and things like that. I like it. I like it like you walk in the octagon and like just you feel like you're just a gladiator. Everybody like on top of you, some shit like that, you know. So and I kind of like it, like that kind of fight, you know, that kind of like So you know, this time will be like less noise, let's say.
It's so funny. It's so quiet in there, you know? And at the end of the, like, if you saw the fights over the weekend with my guy, Marab, at the very last, in the third round, it started. Let's go to war. They give a hug. Ah, they both do a scream. And it was almost fucking freaky, man.
Like, it was freaky.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, Robbie, you were there.
I watched it, Dad. I was happy for your guy, man, you know? And then I heard his story after, you know, like, coming from Georgia, very humble kid. That was really nice, man. I was happy for him. It was happy for him to be able to stop John Dodson because I fought Dodson like in a bigger octagon. And then I thought myself, what about if I fought him in a smaller octagon?
You know, he doesn't have
much place to run, you know? So yeah. That was good, man.
I was happy about it. Yeah. Because it had to show a little bit of a, he had to show a little more patience in the fight, which is cool that he was able to do that. Like, you know, instead of just going into a berserker. So, hey, Pedro, yeah, for the people that don't know your story, you started in Brazil, you grew up in Brazil. Yes.
Yeah.
And you started, what was your first martial art? I don't want to just assume jiu-jitsu, but was it jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, no. Good. So I grew up, you know, in a low middle class, you know, family in Brazil. I'm from São Paulo originally. And, you know, I was a big fan of Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know, like very, 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 like, the young age. Like, it was, like, 4, 5, 6 year olds. I used to watch, like, kickboxer, blood sport, and things like that. And I wanna be a kickboxer, you know? And then I was, you know, doing karate here and there, nothing too serious. I was a kid playing soccer a little bit. But in reality, when I fell in love with the sport, it was the first UFCs, you know, when I watched Royce Gracie, you know, choking all those guys. And I was like, wow, jiu-jitsu, man, that's the shit right there. And I had a little bit of experience in kickboxing, karate, but I never done anything like jiu-jitsu. I never heard about jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So I never saw a gym that in my city with jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu back then in São Paulo, later 99, beginner 2000, that year it was more in Rio. You know, São Paulo was already starting jiu-jitsu, and it was more for like elite class. It was like nice neighborhood and things like that. So we ended up year later finding like a gym next to my neighborhood, and then told my parents, man, I want to do jiu-jitsu. So I went, fell in love with the sport, and I started competing like immediately.
How old were you, Pedro? How old were you?
I was 13 years old when I started doing jiu-jitsu. Yeah, I got my black belt. I was 20 years old when I got my black belt.
Wow. So, yeah.
Okay. But MMA was always something that was like my passion. Even though jiu-jitsu, I want to be a world champion. I want to fight ADCC. But I didn't have that patience to just focus in jiu-jitsu. I started doing boxing at 17 years old. I did some boxing amateur fights in that time between 17 years old, 18. Doing Muay Thai a year later. And then I was like, I know what I'm going to do. So I got my black belt, and I tried one more year at the Worlds to try to become like a world champion, things like that. So it didn't happen. And then my first MMA fight was back in 2009. So, that's pretty much my journey was.
How did you transition to the striking? You said you started doing that at 17 and you started doing jiu-jitsu at 13?
So remember, like at the beginning, I did some karate, you know,
okay,
things like that. And then when I started doing jiu-jitsu, 3 years later, I was doing jiu-jitsu. We had a boxing class, one of the jiu-jitsu academy that I used to train. Ah. And then I started boxing right there with the coach. I fought amateurs. I did it like probably 4 or 5 amateur boxing fights, you know, here and there. While I was doing jiu-jitsu at the same time, competing and all that. A year later, I was like, I found another Muay Thai gym. I was doing jiu-jitsu. I was competing. I was competing the nationals. I was competing the states and things like that, which I won the national 2 times, no gi. And then I had opportunity to fight in MMA in 2009. So I had a little bit like the amateur boxing, background a little bit, you know. So I was like aware of the kicks and stuff like that, because the Muay Thai, I was already black belt in jiu-jitsu. So it was pretty much like everything coming at once. You know, I was not the guy that I came from a jiu-jitsu background and then jump in MMA. So I kind of had the mix, you know. I started karate a little bit as a kid, just for fun. And then jiu-jitsu, very serious. I want to be a world champion. Jiu-jitsu was my passion. 3 years later, I wanted to do boxing just to, you know, to help me with jiu-jitsu cardio. And then I started fought boxing. You know, I started fighting boxing. I did like I told you, like 4 or 5 amateur boxing fights. And then I was like, oh man, that shit is fun. So what can I do to put all together? Boom, MMA. But first I want to get my black belt, and I want to try to be a world champion. So I tried for another 2 years to be a world champion. It didn't happen. You know, I was just like, not patient to train all the 50-50 guarding, bearing ball, all this stuff. You know, fight for me was something was more interest, more fun, more excited. And I got my black belt, though, but for the last 2 years before I got my black belt, I was already doing some wrestling with the Cubans that was in Brazil. Yeah. I was already fighting like amateur boxing, things like that. So I got my nose broken. I was like a purple belt and stuff. So, you know, let's say I always like that. I love jiu-jitsu, but for me, it was not enough. You know, man, I want to like more action, you know, and then MMA was just perfect.
Oh, man, we got so much in common, Pedro. I love jiu-jitsu more than than I love any other art. Like, I got done fighting. I want to open my jiu-jitsu schools. I haven't sparred a day. I haven't took any more, deposits out of the withdrawals out of the bank. You know what I'm saying? I love jiu-jitsu, but when it comes to watching jiu-jitsu, I watch some cool like jiu-jitsu matches, but I much rather prefer watching jiu-jitsu used in mixed martial arts. And Damian Maya, I mean, guys that are just like using it in combat. It's just
such a true sense of danger, right?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, and I'm not shitting on the new school stuff, because I love any way you could break a leg, new ways to do it, everything with the legs. I love it. It's great. But I like it for combat. Two guys sitting there in the fucking, you know, in their fucking, I don't want to say the incorrect stance. It's not Indian stance. What the fuck is with your feet together, Robbie? I don't know. You're sitting down like you're
meditative,
fucking yoga.
Meditative.
Yeah, two guys sitting in a fucking yoga pose. Fucking, I mean, I get like, back in the day, Pedro, with jiu-jitsu matches, it would transition. It, like a guy like Fabio Gugel, I don't know if you ever heard of him, Marilla Bustamante, they'd fight a jiu-jitsu match. It's very, they would transition right over to MMA. It's the same philosophy. Yeah. You're passing a guard. You're getting a position.
I think it's just like the natural, like, transition evolution, you know, like people, they starting putting more money in jiu-jitsu. So guys that want to fight jiu-jitsu, they are able just to make money, you know, jiu-jitsu and things like that. But on the other hand, man, I didn't go to MMA because money, you know, because like I was like getting a little bit boring with like the new jiu-jitsu, you know, guys like stole the whole fight and then beat you by advantage, things like that was kind of like upsetting me. And then after the match, those guys come screaming in my face, and I was like, motherfucker, you just beat me by advantage. If we go outside right now, I'll fuck you up.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So you think you're going to beat me just by one advantage?
Yeah.
You know, and then I was starting getting frustrated. I was like winning a lot of fights, but losing the finals, things like that for strategy guys that was there putting me in the 55th. And then the whole fight, I was like, you know, and then they do it during Bogle Higher Society. I want to fight, but they were like, switching lapels and things like that for the reason that like no gi as a purple belt I started competing no gi more even though that I had to travel a little bit in Brazil to compete no gi because gi there is still very strong today I was always trying to find like a no gi tournaments just because I could use more my explosive, I could use more my aggressive, and if the guy want to just, you know, try to steal me right there using lapels and beating by advantage, when we fight no gi, you know that better than I. It's harder to situation like that to happen. You can use more aggressive, your explosion, you know, compared to a jiu-jitsu gi, which is more technical, things like that. Don't take me wrong. I still train jiu-jitsu with the gi today. I love to teach. I love to teach. I teach an American top team once a week just for fun because I like to help the people, like not even the pros, the people that come in the gym, the regular people, you know. So
it feels good. Yes,
I like it to teach, you know. I love to learn, so I'm always rolling with the gi, purple belts, brown belts, and I see the guys that in passion with the gi today, like I used to be back in those days.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, let me see this position, let me see it again. So I'm always like try to learn this stuff, and you know, I think that's a part of the life. You know, I see, you know, also I see you guys like you, you know, doing like a great job today as a coach, training out Joe, the other guy from Georgia. You know, that's, you know, you were the guy that I always look up for, you know. So I see you competing. A good friend of mine, you compete against him, Tereré.
Oh, Tereré, how is he?
Man, Tereré, he's doing better though. Tereré, he recently for the last 7 years he has been problem with drug addiction, you know.
Oh no, I don't like to hear that.
Yeah.
So I know he came from a very poor neighborhood.
A lot of people don't say that, but I think that we gotta be honest, you know, people gotta be aware of this stuff. So even him, you know, listening to stuff like that, we talk about him, like, you know, it has been like a problem with the drug addiction for lately. And every once in a while that he's good, I go to Rio, spend like a couple of days with him. He's still a beast. And he has a project and the community that he lives. He helps over 300 kids.
Yeah, because he comes from a poor community, yes? In Rio, is it?
Yes, in Rio, which is like 4 hours driving from the city that I grew up. But I travel straight, you know, Florida, whatever, California, whatever I met. I've traveled straight to Rio, spend there a few days with him. I always try to at least once a year go down his project and see the kids growing up and doing jiu-jitsu and things like that, helping, you know, any way that I can help. And
man.
And I watch you guys match way back in those days, Shaolin,
Leo.
What tournament was that?
Was the Pro-Ams, I believe, in North Carolina.
That one.
And that was in the year 2000. Oh, man. That was 20 years. That was 20 years ago.
I was 2 years old, Matt. 20
years ago. I'm still in here.
Pedro. That was exactly when I started training. Yeah. I was 13. I was able to get
That's amazing.
Those.
That's amazing.
That one, they pass in they pass. So my manager, right, George Guimarães. So he had a show.
George, yeah.
He had a show in Brazil. They call passing guard. Remember that?
Yes,
show?
I remember that. I do. Holy
and then
shit,
I used to be awake like later night, and then he was the guy that was
that's
showing.
Old.
And then I used to record VHS on TV, and then I had that VHS for a while.
So that day, amazing.
That day you compete against Tererê and Shaolin, Leo Vieira.
Leo Vieira, and I had a good match with Leo. That was my first time competing as black belt, and I strangled a little Japanese shooto fighter, and then I lost back to back to Leo Vieira, and then I lost to your buddy Tererê back to back. But you know, it's experience. Then I learned from that, and I did well in Abu Dhabi. Pedro, I'm having so much fun talking to you. You got your opponent, Frank Yedgar. You're both such great guys. Robbie, this is a battle of the
this,
two.
This really is. This is the nicest MF-er in the game.
Yeah, I know, and he's such a bad mother effer. Listen, I like the way we clean up our language for the show.
Yeah, I know that. Hey, I don't Pedro, know. We don't have to.
I know. We really don't. It's unfiltered. Pedro, thanks for talking to us, man. Please come on again soon. I'm looking forward to your
Definitely.
Fight with Frank.
I would love it. I was so happy when he started following me on social media. I was like, yes!
Hey, man, it's great to get to know you, buddy. I'm looking forward to a great fight with you and Frankie.
Appreciate it, man.
All Best right. Luck, Take care, Pedro. Take care, buddy.
Take care.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The legend, Frankie Edgar.
Maddie, you know what's up, brother?
You know Robbie Fox, don't you?
I do.
Going
How you
on,
doing,
Frankie? How are
How
you?
Are you?
Hey,
good.
You know you're close to a fight when you answer the Zoom with a shirt off.
Yeah. Hey,
you know.
The works.
That's not you in the off season. Now, actually, you're always, Frankie. I never see you out of shape. Actually,
I'm not too bad. I stay pretty close. I'm not the biggest guy in the world, so I say always rather close.
I used to become a slob. I remember, Frankie, I used to see Dana between fights. I always say this, but it's true. He used to go, oh, he used to use the same fucking joke every time, but there was always somebody new around. They'd always laugh. He'd be like, oh, look, it looks like you ate Matt Serra. And then there's always some crony laugh. Ah, fuckers. Anyway, Frankie, what's up, man?
Nah, man, just got done with the quarantine here in Vegas. You know, it's moving along, fight week.
Okay, was it nose, throat, or rectum? How'd they do it? Nose or throat?
Throat.
Throat is so much. Let me tell you something. When I went to Abu Dhabi, I did like 5 of them. I just went to Vegas. I did like 4 of them, whatever it is. Throat's better than the nose, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I got a couple of the throat ones. One was way worse than the other.
The throat?
Yeah, oh yeah. They were dangling that thing. They were fighting me. Whole forearm session.
Like trying to like hit your tonsils in the back or some shit. Like in a
for real. It was bananas. Frankie, talk to me about fight week, just being there for this bizarre, you know, fighting in the middle of a pandemic thing. Like, does it feel strange yet to you?
I mean, it does. Definitely does. Usually I have, quite a few people around. I got my, you know, corners, but I usually have some of my buddies and my family around. And, you know, I'm kind of just solo with these guys. So, you know, that's definitely unique, and being stuck in a room for 24 hours makes you want to, you know, go crazy. But, you know, we're all in the same boat together, I guess you could say.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'll feel even stranger on fight night when you're in the Apex and it's, you know, silent. It's going to be the first fight for you that's been, you know, not had this massive crowd in it for an incredibly long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be like sparring in the gym. That's, I guess, what I'm going to, you know, equate it to. So we'll go in there. I'll be able to hear my coaches really well, so that'll be a plus.
Now, who do you got with you? Mark Henry, Ricardo Almeida, and Chris Liguori, or is it anybody different?
And Chris Liguori and Steve Rivera, my wrestling
coach. I'm sorry, Stevie. I didn't mean to forget Stevie. Yeah, but I know your crew. It is, listen, you know what's, I mean, there's going to be young guys coming up, but now, Frankie, do you appreciate, like, each moment? Not saying it's going to fucking end tomorrow, but, like, you know, it's not like you're 26. So, like, each camp itself, like for instance, like, I just got back from Vegas. And I shared a room with Longo, and we make jokes like we fucking can't stand each other. But, dude, that's, you know, after a while, it's not going to be going on forever. And you fucking – are you appreciating
each moment? Yeah, I am. I am. You know, they say don't stop and smell the roses. But, you know, you got to take a sniff every once in a while, you know, because it's only going to last so long. I mean, you know, the end is imminent, of course. And it's, you know, you can't stop time. So I'm making the best of it right now.
And fighting a guy like Pedro Munhoz, man, I'm telling you, I'm surprised you guys didn't cross paths before.
I was thinking the same exact thing when this fight got booked.
Right? Because you hear about it, you're like, oh, fuck, I didn't even think of putting that fight together. That's a great fight.
Yeah.
You know? What do you
for
think
sure,
of Pedro?
You know, it's the first fight at 35, so, I mean, it kind of makes sense that we get, you know, he's a number five right now. He's definitely a stud, so I'm excited for this matchup.
I'll tell you, I didn't ask, we just talked to Pedro, too. I almost wish we didn't because he's such a fucking nice guy.
I know. I wish he was a little bit of a prick. I don't want anyone to lose.
Well, listen. I mean, listen, I'll say it right in front of him. I'm never going to pick against Frankie.
No, me neither. I'm from Frankie. I'm from Jersey, so I'm not going to pick against
him.
I love it.
That's your home team, baby. Home team.
I mean, so, and then Frankie, with the COVID thing, you got part of that UFC gym. Is that shit's, you're in the same boat as me with all this shit?
I mean, I'm not so much, you know, I'm involved more on a different level, but yeah, I mean, we're closed down, we're dealing with all this bullshit. It's kind of crazy. And politics aside, man, this is just crazy times, I guess, across the board for everybody and all the businesses. But I mean, open the damn gyms. Come on now, let's go.
Yeah, I know, man. Listen, I never been a political person. I hate it. It's all negative. You know, it just irks me. But fuck, man, how flat does this curve got to get? I got kids, man. I got a fucking.
For sure.
And
for
now
sure,
they're saying,
man,
we can open up, Frankie, but we got to wear masks. How am I going to fucking wear a mask doing jiu-jitsu?
I know.
Fuck yourself.
It's ridiculous.
You know?
Yeah. That doesn't make sense. You're going to sweat over each other, get sweat in your eyeballs, but you got to wear the mask. Like, what are we talking about?
None of this stuff makes sense, bro. From the gate, none of this shit made sense. And that's what irks me the most, you know?
I know, because so many people are getting hurt by it. It has to feel good, Frankie, that you're actually able to fight during these times.
I was going to say, you're able to distract people from this. So thank you for, you know, being able to get out there and get in the octagon Saturday night.
Yeah, no, you know, when I knew Dana was going to try to put on fights, I knew I wanted to definitely fight during this. I mean, think about it, 20 years down the road, I'm going to say I got to fight during the pandemic. You know, so it's a unique event for all the fighters. And to be part of this is going to be cool in the future.
And Frankie, you got no timetable, man. As long as you're doing well in the fucking gym and enjoying yourself, you plan on still fighting, no, Frankie?
I do, yeah. I mean, I'm not getting any younger, that's for sure. But honestly, I'm performing well in the gym. You know, I'm down in a new weight class. I feel like I got a new, new canvas in front of me, and I'm excited to see what I can make with it.
And that's not hurting you, getting the weight off like that?
Not at all, man. It's been rather easy.
You look good. I mean, really.
You know, 55, I cut zero, 45, I cut minimal. Honestly, this forced me just to be disciplined during camp and, you know, putting the good food in my body. I feel better this camp than I do most. So, yeah, I'm excited to see my performance.
And tell me about your podcast. Are you still doing that with your buddy Roger?
We are, with Champ and Tramp. We're doing it. We kind of closed down the guests for the past couple weeks just because, you know, I don't want to be around too many you know, people I didn't know. So, but yeah, we're still pumping them out, man. It's all right. Roger's, you know, big goof, so it's a lot of fun.
How did you meet Roger, by the way? The people that watch your podcast probably want to know that.
Yeah, he moved to Tom's River back in the day, and, you know, we crossed paths, and then I started teaching, a pretty much informal, like, MMA jiu-jitsu class back in the day, and he came in, and, you know, we kind of hit it off, and
Is it before or after he started dating JWoww? Is it JWoww? Is it JWoww?
Is that her name? Yeah, yeah.
Okay. She's from Long Island, actually.
Yeah.
She is. Yep. Yep. Yeah. It was before that.
Not the whole cast is from Long Island. One of those from Staten
Some Island. Some from Staten Island, Long Island, but none of them are from Jersey. It's the weirdest.
Nah, this, the situation's from Jersey.
This okay. Oh, we got
one. There you go. You got we the got best one. One. Yeah, you got yeah, the yeah. one with the fucking abs. So wait, you got friends with him after he got you joined?
No, before. Before I was friends with him before. Then he met Jenny. Then you know my wife and his wife, ex wife now. They became friendly over the years too. We have daughters the same age. They hang out all the time.
Oh, that's cute. How funny is that though? That you're like, oh, because you already were, you know, a famous guy from your fighting, and also you're like, oh, there's my buddy Roger. Oh shit, he's dating JWoww.
Yeah,
is that how it went down? Is that what you're like?
I mean,
oh, shit.
He looks like a character on Jersey Shore, so it's perfect. He's a perfect fit for it.
Well, listen, man, when things get better, you know, I'm inviting myself on your podcast. No, I want you to invite me on.
I think we'd
have fun.
When I get back from this fight, you come down to the podcast. I'll give you a hug. I don't need no mask, nothing. Yeah. There we go.
I get tested a lot. See, it's always weird when you have kids, you know, because
I hear you.
Sometimes,
yeah.
Like, yo, I don't give a. I'm like with my wife. I'm like, yo, I'm going here. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. She's like, you don't want to bring it home to the kids? They got respiratory issues. You know, then I feel bad because God forbid they get it.
You always got to be careful. You always got to worry about the family.
But shit, Frankie, man, they're back at dance class. I mean, fuck.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. My kids are playing baseball. They're doing football. Right. They're wrestling here and there. So, you know.
I don't want to hear that new normal bullshit. We got to keep it old school. Robbie, what else you got?
This shit's so confusing. I wanted to ask Frankie about the small cage. You fought for so long. I assume you fought in a smaller cage, a bigger cage. We've heard some fighters say it made a big difference. I talked to Stipe. He thought it helped him a lot on Saturday night against Daniel Cormier. What do you think about it?
I mean, I think I've won every time I fought in a smaller cage. So, you know, I'm down with it. It makes for me, it makes for more action. I'm definitely an action fighter. I feel like my conditioning is great. And that's just a positive for me, I think.
I see a guy like Frankie in quarantine, much different than a guy like me that could take a lot of naps. Like, I think Frankie, because I think they got to put like a treadmill in there or something. How do you, Frankie, I look at you as a guy that can't sit still too much. Are you one of those? Like
my I am. I mean, I know how to relax during fight week. You got to force yourself through, but, there's a workout room not too far from here. You know, I'm able to get it in. I'm able to get my workouts that I need to do. And now that quarantine's over, I'm going to head over to the PI, get a little work in there as well.
Is there anything – these are all personal questions, Robbie. I always ask my own – because sometimes I get turned on to new shows. And I know Frankie a long time. Frankie, is it – because when you do slow down, even back home with your wife, what are you streaming now? What are you watching? Anything?
Oh, man. You know, I just watched The Boys. The Boys on Amazon.
So good. You're talking to two nerds right here.
Fuck yeah. It's like the Justice League were a bunch of assholes, right?
Yeah.
So good. That comes back soon, too. Next month. September comes back 4th, for season 2. Yeah.
September 4th. That's right.
And then you're like this one. We're watching in the room, actually. I'm watching Fear City on Netflix. It's New York versus the Mafia.
Hell yeah.
Pretty good little documentary. Pretty good.
Jimmy watched that. It was in there listening into the mob and shit like that.
Yeah. They kind of snaked the mob, man. It's kind of, you know, but hey.
That's such a Jersey thing to say. Mafia. I mean, you're all bad.
They didn't tell them they were listening in on their fucking hits. Frankie, the dark side of Frankie Edgar.
That's perfect. That's the answer right there.
Frankie, if you got Amazon Prime, get into Vikings.
I'm telling you, man.
I watched it twice because I got my wife into it. And it's, oh my, man, it's so good, Frankie. So good.
I'm in. I think they have an app on the TV in here. I'll probably start it tonight.
Dude, I'm telling you. I got Longo into it. Longo binged it. Oh, fucking Vikings. Ah! Fucking loved it.
You're going to have him jacked up to go fight Pedro Munhoz like a Viking.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. Well, listen, it's going to be a fucking sick fight.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it. When things clear up, dude, I know I'm taking a drive out to the fucking – out to Jersey, and I'm hanging out with you and Roger.
Yeah, definitely, man. That'd be amazing. I'd love to have you, man.
We'll have a great time, man. Shit. You know, I was waiting for you to invite me. You never did. And you were doing the show for like 6 months or so. How long have you been doing the show? Frankie, I know you well enough that I can give you a little bit of a guilt trip. How long have you been doing the show for?
Since about January.
All right. So, Robbie, I gave him like a few months. I'm like, all right, let him get on his feet. Then he's an ass.
You've been on my show, haven't you, Matt? You've been on my show.
I've been on Robbie's show.
I had all local people on it, but I need some star power. I need some star power. So, Matty, you're coming on.
Well, listen, maybe I'll bring Longo. Then you'll really get some fucking ratings. All right, listen, man. Say hello to all your crew. I love them all. We love you, Frankie Edgar. You're a legend, and we'll be watching you this weekend, brother.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, man. Always a blast. Always a blast, man. I'll talk to you soon, Matty. All right. All right, Rob.
All right. Good, a legend, Frankie Edgar.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Robbie Fox, man, I'll tell you. I mean, listen, battle of the nice guys.
Those guys are the best. Those guys are the absolute best.
Come on, man. And first of all, I talked to Pedro a little before his fight with Aljo and a little after, and he was a nice guy. But now I really like him. Now I'm like, shit.
He's passionate. You hear the passion in his voice about everything he talks about.
Anybody but one of my guys or Frankie, I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know what I mean? I'm with you. He's on the unfiltered squad now.
Yeah, because I mean, damn, what a nice guy. You know, and not just because, you know, he gave me a lot of compliments. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'll tell you, I was feeling a little down. I was feeling a little down. Have a little quarantine dad's belly here. So, you know what I mean? I got to lose that.
Yeah. Here's what I'm going to ask you, Matt, before we
get. Yeah, talk to me, Robbie.
When this all clears up,
yes.
Can you come out to your gym and for a Kimura seminar? Can you teach me how to slap a Kimura on someone? If someone gives me some shit,
I will teach you.
Hit it on them.
I will teach you how to rip a Kimura. But you know what else I'd want to teach you for this? And like,
what do you want to teach me?
I just want to teach if someone tries to get you in a headlock and give you a nudgie or something. Somebody tries to look at you and say,
self-defense.
Robbie's got know what I fear for you, Robbie?
This is
what I fear for you. You are a kid that's got a lot going on. A lot going on. And by having so much going on, you're like, for a kid your age, even though you're like an alpha in disguise. And that's a compliment. Like,
I'm taking that as a compliment. Girls are looking at me like, that A-word about me before.
Girls are looking at that and they're like, wow, he's this other kid. He's still in he's literally in his mom's. Wait, do you live in your mom's basement?
No, that's just the name of my podcast. But I got an apartment in Manhattan.
Listen,
Sarah.
You do. Fuck yeah, you're Robbie effing Fox. But you know, people, you know, like your age are still living at home or they're fucking whatever they're doing. You're hanging out with Dana White. You guys are
great. I'm hanging out with Matt Serra.
Well, I wasn't going to bring that up. But, you know, now that you did.
I
did knock out Frank Trigg.
Dude, knock GSP out. Come on.
Well, he's nice, so I don't bring it up. I just bring up Trigg. But listen, man, you got the world by the nuts. And I'm afraid that some guy, like a classic bully from an 80s movie, would look at you and see
jacket,
all the. Yes, exactly. But some dumb jock, and they'll see you and they'll see all the girls around. Oh, Robbie Fox, you know he plays music? He'll hear the little whispering of how these girls like you. And then they'll try to alpha you, put you in a headlock, give you a nudgie. I want you to be able to turn the tables, do a takedown into a position to an arm lock to mount. I mean,
if you imagine that, imagine I catch him in some kind of heel hook. They don't even know what hit him.
It goes viral, and now nobody – then you're dead.
Nobody messes with me then.
Yeah, listen, music, look at you. I mean, you got all – you're like a well-rounded fighter.
Listen, it's set. When everything's okay, I'm going to come down to the Sarah gym, and we're going to do a self-defense class.
All right, hey, listen. That was the great Robbie Fox. He had to take off, but there's a little bird chirping in. My Jimmy Bird is going to join us, the great Jimmy Norton. Jimmy, hey man, I wasn't sure if I was going to talk to you. I'm so happy.
Yeah, I'm in a location where I can sit. It's nice to, like, when I'm not there, I always I have to call in. So it's nice to not have to call in now. I can just use my computer. And it's normally a phone in is hard. It was usually you and another host in the studio. And it was like being a fly on the wall. I missed Robbie today, though. I feel bad. I feel like that he knew I was coming and he left.
And he's such a, what a nice kid. I'll tell you, 22 years old. So I mean, he's just got the world by the nuts.
Yeah.
He really does.
He's a smart guy. Very funny. Smart.
Yeah. He's BFF with Dana White. He talks to Dana more than I do, for sure. He's always, every time I see him, he's hanging out with Dana doing an interview, he's doing a fucking tour of the Apex Center.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot. He's nice. Nice kid.
So what are you saying that, what is this, your new best friend? Is that what,
all I'm saying is, you know, every time you bring up how close you are with Robert Kelly, you know, your other bald friend, a little overweight, and I say, he's funnier and chubbier than me, and I get a little jealous. So I have to throw it back. It's not true that he's funnier or chubbier.
He's not funnier than you.
Well.
He is chubbier.
I like that, Jimmy. We're back. Okay. You won me over all over again.
All right, good.
But you want to talk about the co-main and main? Because we could talk about that.
I do. Also, did you guys touch on Jones vacating the belt?
You know what? I'm so we hopped right into those interviews. I'm glad you brought that up. Let's talk about it.
John Jones vacated, and it looks like Blachowicz against Dominic Reyes, and Reyes against Jones. I would love to have seen that one again because I thought that Reyes, if I remember correctly, I thought it was 3-2 Reyes or 4-1. I thought Reyes won that fight. It was a close fight, but I like Jones didn't get blown out. But I thought Reyes came out on top. If I remember correctly.
A lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know, it was a close fight for sure. But so he vacates it.
Vacates the belt. Looks like, Blachowicz against Reyes is the name, was what I'm hearing now. And also, Ngannou definitely is the next shot at Stipe, which is fair. He's earned it after fucking barreling through Curtis Blaydes and JDS. And
who's not going to want to see that?
I know. I don't know, man. Like, Stipe, it's hard to ever bet against Stipe. He was so incredible in that first fight, but will he be able to do that to Francis again? Maybe.
Well, the biggest thing is no one's able to survive the first, exchange.
Yeah.
And he's not stupid. He has the grappling ability.
Yeah.
You know, have we seen Francis in a second or third round lately? You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, if he doesn't hit you with that big overeem uppercut or he doesn't hit you with it. Listen, he touches you, he's hurting you.
Yeah.
But if he touches you in the second or third round, he might not hurt you as much. You know what I mean? Or you take a little bit off. I don't know. And you can't say this guy doesn't have a chance. Listen, I can't wait for that fight. When is that?
I know. Because you could picture Ngannou. Like if Ngannou comes in the way he did against Rozenstruik, does Stipe handle it the same way, or is he a seasoned enough grappler to figure out a way just to get a hold of I mean, who knows? I mean, that's a really interesting fight, though. And will he be able to do the same thing twice? I don't know.
Shit, man. I'm looking forward to it. Wait, what'd you say the date was?
What's that, buddy?
The date? You said to be announced?
No. I'm just saying Dana said that would be the next fight.
It would be the next fight. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were calling in with breaking news.
No, they didn't tell me anything.
My little news bird. Sorry.
Do you think Jones fights? Now, does Jones wait for a title shot? You can't have – look, I love Jones. But you cannot have his first heavyweight fight potentially be against Francis Ngannou.
Why not?
I have no answer.
He did it all. Why not? I'm asking you why not. They were talking about a potential – a super fight with him and Brock Lesnar back in the day. Why can't he go for the title? He's beating everybody. Jones, except for that downward elbow from Matt Hamill bullshit. Yeah. When he did that to him. I mean, he's undefeated.
Well, he is, but he also is. I think Jones has gotten that one back. When you look at, like, again, Chael, he knocked Chael out in the first round, or TKO, but John had a broken toe in that fight. So if that had gone another minute, John would not have been able to fight the second round. He would have lost the belt. The Dominic Reyes decision was very close.
Listen.
So they kind of, I think it comes
out.
No,
but you're not changing the facts that he's fucking undefeated. This is a game of inches.
Yep.
If Eve Edwards would have followed me up, I would have been out of the UFC when he dropped me. He didn't. Yep. His bad. My good. I'm hanging out with you. And I love Eves. I'm not attacking him. Eve. Yeah. I should not be there's an S on it that I should have left off ages ago.
Yeah. Oh, you still pronounce the silent.
What the fuck?
That'd be like if I called you Matt. That'd be like if I called you.
You know, I called Dean Din. It's true. You know? But, hey, man, enough of that bullshit. Let's get to it.
All right.
What do you think? No bullshit.
No, I understand. Let's see. What's the co-main? Let me get that in front of me.
That's OSP versus Alonzo.
Oh, right, against Curtis Menefield.
Menefield is... Menefield is explosive, man. I'll tell you, Devin Clark, who we found on looking for a fight, fought him really smart. Clinching a lot, striking, clinching. And, you know, implemented. I said that, Jimmy. I said implemented. Okay. I said implemented.
Okay.
I miss you, Jimmy.
I'll be back.
Little Robbie Fox would have just sat there and let me stutter and not wanted to make me feel like an idiot. He really implemented his grappling. Even if he didn't get him down and submit him, he used it to win the match and put him up against the cage, put him down again, and yada, yada. So I feel that Ovince St. Preux is going to take him down in the finish him in the second round, I think.
That's exactly what I was going to say. A second round, maybe I think he'll choke him. He'll choke him in the second round. I think, again, OSP is too experienced. He's fought everybody. Second round submission. By
Young Robbie Fox thinks he's going to get it in the first round.
He might, but you got to think that Alonzo, I said Curtis, by the way. So I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Curtis Mayfield because I was listening to Curtis Mayfield before. And I'm like, he's on my mind like a fucking idiot. Curtis Mayfield is fighting. Alonzo, I think that, second round, he might be able to stay away for the first round. Sometimes, especially coming off a loss, they're both coming off a loss. Maybe he's a little more gun shy in the first round and he knows OSP can grapple. So I take it in the second round.
Now.
Yeah.
Main event.
Yeah.
Pedro Munhoz versus Frankie Edgar.
Frankie's coming off of two losses, right?
I'm getting Frankie by decision, you know? But Pedro is dangerous. Heavy hands, sick guillotine. A guillotine, one arm, he'll get you. I gave Frankie a little guilt trip about him not inviting me on his podcast. Is that wrong? I feel I'm close enough with him to tease him like that.
Yeah. No, why hasn't he invited you? That's a fair question. Us. Why hasn't he invited us onto his podcast? That's a great point.
Road trip, Jimmy. I'm driving.
No, I mean, you can go on your own time. I just feel like he's never invited me either. So you're not alone.
No, you know what it is? He's the type of guy, he doesn't want to impose on nobody, you know, like hassle you. Be like, oh, he did all local people.
Everyone says that when they don't want us. Oh, I don't want to impose.
Who are you picking? You picking Frankie or you picking, what are you doing?
You know, Frankie's lost 3 out of 4 fights. It's
what I like about Jimmy. Jimmy's not here to make friends.
No. What I'm saying is, like, a lot of times I don't see a guy losing 3 in a row. Like, you know what I mean? Frank's lost 2 in a row. I don't see a lot of these guys losing 3 fights in a row. I think that they're going to find a way. That Yair fight was 3 years ago. You know what, man? I may have to agree with you and take Frankie by decision as well. Because I don't think he's going to lose his 3rd fight in a row. Then again, I didn't think JDS would either. I don't think Frankie's going to lose his 3rd fight in a row. I think he'll find a way to outpoint him. But he's had a lot of decision wins. What's Frankie? He's 38 now. How old is Pedro?
33.
Yeah, all right. So he's not like he's 25. Yeah, I'll take Edgar by decision. We're going to agree on both of the picks.
Jimmy, really quick, before listen, I know you're on the road. I don't know where you are, Jimmy. You're so mysterious. I'm not even going to ask you.
I'll tell you.
You're mysterious. Tell me off air. It looks like you're in a hotel room, you dirty boy. I am.
I'm on Fight Island. I'm training.
Or on Fantasy Island. Jimmy, on the Contender Series last night, this is the first time ever that two brothers they compete on the show and they get signed by the UFC. There was these two brothers that were undefeated. And Orion battled back for like a tough fight but we're versus a heavily favored Matt Dixon, and he with just seconds left, he had a TKO, which is amazing.
Don't you love that? Like in the final, TKO at the end. There's nothing better than that.
But you would love this whole story with these kids. Like I mean, it's inspiring because they had a very like rough childhood where they were pretty much had to look out for each other.
Right.
And, you know, they could have went down a bad path. But they chose to be good people and do the right thing, and I'll tell you right now, they're both beasts. This is very exciting. I like that. I want to see how they're going to do in the UFC, because they both had such an impressive showing, and I love their story. You know what I mean? So it's very exciting.
Yeah, right, that's a little 7-0, and
Lewis and Orion.
What's that?
Cosey. Lewis and Orion Cosey. I mean, that was fun. I enjoyed that. And there's another big heavyweight. What's his name? The Parisian.
Parisian.
I'll tell you right now, he looks like he won by a first round knockout. And that was nice because he was a beast. And then there was one more. Or two more. Let me see really quick. I just want to give the shout out.
Yeah, I understand.
Parisian won. Oh, no. Oh, Shanae buys.
Cheyenne.
Cheyenne buys. I'm sorry. Moron.
Well,
congrats to her also. I'm enjoying the contender series, Jimmy. I am. I like hearing the stories of these fighters.
Yeah.
And it gets you kind of invested. And then when you see them pull out, you know, like a fight like last night, like with how the brothers won, it was really inspiring.
It's weird when like the fact that you become invested in somebody when you've only watched them win once or fight once. That's the beauty of a backstory that means something, is that like you start caring about a person, because that's when you root for fighters, you're rooting for somebody that you like or rooting against someone you don't like. Indifference is the worst thing. That's why Connor's a smart guy, because he understands indifference is the killer. Love and hate are both equally good ticket sellers. So when you watch something like that and you see a guy's backstory, before you even watch him fight or after one fight, you're like, fuck, I kind of like this guy. I want to watch this guy fight again. So it's smart. That's what I'm saying. It's really smart to show that backstory.
Yeah, and you don't want to be on the fence. Get off the fence.
Feels good, though.
Jimmy, my sick little friend, I miss you.
Yes,
me too. Listen, enjoy the fights this weekend.
Yes, I'll probably text you over the weekend as we always do. And
I'm not going to text with any spoilers, though. Sometimes I do that. Like, oh, that fucking arm lock.
But, Matt will text, because a lot of times I watch on delay. Depends if I'm working or if I'm in the broad. And I'll get it. Matt will be like, are you watching? Did you see that? Like, at least now you're not saying what happened. You're like, are you watching?
I got better. I learned. Because sometimes I get a text back, like, watching later. Because I'm like, I go the Black Beast knockout. And I'd be my text. And you'd be like, you know.
The worst is, you ever do this? You ever go to watch like an hour later and you open up the app and you hit like the wrong button and it goes to live view?
Yeah.
That happened to me during Carwin. I forget. It was a Shane Carwin fight. And yeah. I came up to my friend's house to watch it. And I just hit the wrong button and showed the live view or whatever. And I just see Carwin with his arms up. And I'm like, you motherfucker. I blew the whole fight.
But you knew he won. He only had one arm up. Is that when he fought Jason Ellis?
Yeah, it was Ellis Mania. You're correct.
Hey man, you're the best, Jimmy. Love ya. Let's just do our thing of saying goodbye to your audience. It's becoming our new thing.
Yes, even though we already said goodbye and they had to edit it. sorry, did I blow it?
Jimmy, I love you. I will talk to you soon. Unfiltered Army. You know I love you.
Have a good one.
I will talk to you over the weekend, Jimmy.
Goodbye, buddy.
Bye everyone.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life.
Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.